Hey, Zero Block 30 listeners, you can find us every Tuesday and Friday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. Prime members can also listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
Summer is all about the freedom to have fun. Forget a vacation and take a tequila-cation with new Truly Tequila Soda. This refreshing blend of real fruit juice from concentrate, sparkling water, and premium tequila blanco is the drink of the summer. Try all four refreshing flavors, all with 5% ABV and just 100 calories. Truly Tequila Soda. Keep it light. Hard Seltzer Beverage Company, Boston, Massachusetts. Please drink responsibly.
Welcome back to another edition of Zero Block 30. Today we have six rounds in the magazine. Round number one, Canadian military wants help taking out the trash. In space, though, they spent millions of dollars so far, but they could have just asked us because we are very, very smart. Round number two, the Navy is looking into a video that was released on Pornhub, which showed both Marines and sailors in compromising positions, which has got to be horrifying for everybody who's on a ship. Round number three, two Army Ranger medics made history by performing a blood transfusion in the middle of a firefight. This round will include one of the craziest stories we've told in a long while. Round number four, the VFW is demanding an apology from President Trump after remarks this week about traumatic brain injuries. Round number five, a VA hospital in Dallas went nearly 2 years without a gynecologist, which seems like a pretty big deal, so we're going to be treating it just like it is, a really big deal. And finally, round number six, Australian soldiers have been dispatched to help get the bushfires under control, and some of them got put on the best working party that we've ever seen, and it's not oiling up Hugh Jackman. So we asked you, what's the best working party you've ever been on? And once again, you all came through. And all of that is going to be brought to you by our good friends at Manscaped. Cons, have you got yours yet, or is it still in the office?
I picked it up today. Can't wait to go home and manscape it up.
And I'm actually glad that he picked it up today, because it's been sitting on my desk. And I ladiescape. People think I've been manscaping, think I got a little extra bush to mow through. But it's Cons.
It's not only Australia that has the bushfire, folks. I had one, too, this weekend, but I took care of it with the Manscaped. Because, you know, you do bleed. Like, if you use regular hair clippers, like, it's different in the groin region for some reason. Like, your skin's different. It's not as rough as your head. I'm a big-time used to bleed all over the place kind of guy. Not with this one. And I went, for our listeners, because this is the first time we've had this ad read, I went high into the right with this one. I was very aggressive with how I was doing this. No bleeding, no nicks whatsoever. And they have this light on it that has like an LED light. So if you're in the bathroom and you don't have a lot of light and you want to see those hard to reach areas, you could see it because it's basically like some headlights on the clippers. It's unbelievable.
If you're in the San Antonio area and you notice a few extra tumbleweeds blowing by, that's Chaps. He went in all the crannies this weekend. He got it taken care of a Manscaped.
And I never thought that it would be something that was really that different, but it turns out that the cutting edge ceramic blade that's actually from the ad read, it works really well. They have skin safe technology. I didn't think when I honestly saw the product, I was like, how different could it be? It's a razor. What is a razor? It is very different. I would definitely go out and buy this product. It's great. And right now you're going to get 20% off with free shipping if you use the promo code zero at manscaped.com. Use the code zero. You're going to get 20% off with free shipping. Again, I cannot guarantee this enough, because whenever I came out last night, came out of the shower, wife was like, whoa, what's going on here? I was like, yep, look like Scott Van Pelt down there now.
Whoa!
I think now that it's Tuesday, you're listening to the show on Tuesday, there's been so much talk about what happened, the tragedy with Kobe Bryant and his family, like his daughter being lost in a helicopter crash as well. And it really, whenever tragedies like that, sometimes it brings out the worst in people too. Like it brings out almost a look at me type of perspective. Do you guys agree?
Yeah, I agree. It's almost like everyone feels the need to say something. You know, I understand certain people are going to give their reaction because that's what they do for a living, and that's okay. But I it's one of those things where sometimes not everyone has to say anything.
Yeah, sometimes you don't have to
say. You can just sit it out.
Well, so I first got a DM this weekend from a ZBT listener who said, man, I just have to vent because it's driving me nuts. A bunch of my other military buddies are on Facebook right now saying, oh, I guess we just are sad about a basketball player, but we're not sad about these soldiers and Marines and stuff that are dying overseas still. And he's like, I just hate to see that because it's so not helpful. It's so divisive, and you can have empathy for both. Well, I was like, well, hey, don't worry about it. I'm not seeing too much of that. Whatever. Like 15 minutes later, Major General John R. Evans, the commanding general of Army ROTC, tweets this. Lots of people mourning a basketball player this morning. I think I'll use my energy to remember Specialist Moore and his family. Hashtag rest in peace. And then he went on to say a lot of people were like, dude, a ton of military people were like, dude, come on. So he said, I think my detractors here made my case for me. No one life is any more important than another, regardless the celebrity. Look forward to them retweeting the story about Specialist Moore to demonstrate their conviction. And what he's talking about is Army Specialist Antonio Moore, who is 22 years old. He died in a vehicle rollover in Syria on the 24th. And yes, that is horribly sad. It's a tragic thing. It's terrible. He deserves, his story deserves to be read to and known to. But don't be that guy.
It doesn't have to be. I think we get so caught up in a culture where it has to be either or.
Right.
It doesn't have to be either or. It can be and. Like the general here, I think would be, he'd be apt and be well within his purview as being a commanding general, like him being a leader of people that are in the armed forces, of saying, while you're also mourning Kobe Bryant, let's also remember the family of this gentleman who died in service to our country. And I think that that's appropriate response. You don't have to make it either or. It can be and.
Yeah.
And like to say, and then he was like, I wasn't trying to be like, he's back talking. You got like a basketball player. And there was also two little girls that died in this crash. There was also all this other stuff.
Yeah, there was another gentleman as well. There were a lot of people.
I just don't get why he felt the need to, especially at his high of a rank, to diminish another set of deaths to raise up another. I don't know. That just was extremely bizarre to me. But once it got pointed out to me, I've seen kind of a bunch of that, especially Facebook's like a cesspool. But just don't. Maybe just say to yourself.
The worst of that
don't.
Type of thing is during college exam time. When people were like, oh, you think college exam is tired or hard? And then you have some dude like that's standing in like a trench with a M16 over his head, like firing over his head. This is stressful. Well, yeah but that's not normal shit either. You're not doing that every fucking day either.
And right. Those are the same people complaining about the civilians don't get it. They don't get it. But yeah, because you're alienating the shit out of them. You are really weirding everybody out, and you're the one creating this divide. So cut it out. Yeah. So can we assign Firewatch to the commander of ROTC?
Absolutely. Because you took to Twitter and you didn't go to your PAO and decide if your messaging was be correct, you can take your messaging and work on it on the second and second to last shift of Firewatch.
Whoa.
Major General, you got Firewatch, bitch.
Recruit, whoever your name is. I know you have no Firewatch, therefore I fixed that tonight.
Aye, sir.
All right, let's get started with the actual topics of the day. Round number one's not going to take too long, but it's something that whenever it comes across my radar, space is interesting to me. Now, I want this on the record. I will never actually study space, but if I see an interesting article about space, I will peruse it very quickly, but we'll never fact check. That's my promise to you, the listener. Kate, walk us through what happened in round one.
Well, the Canadian military is looking for a little bit of help to take out the trash in space. Over the last 2 years, the military's Innovation for Defense Excellence and Security program has awarded 16 contracts totaling $4.8 million to Canadian companies and university researchers to find ways to identify some of the millions of pieces of junk orbiting Earth. Now, again, I'm on Team Chaps here. I will never learn about space, you know?
There's just much of it.
But I have heard rumors that there is like zillions and zillions of little bits of space pieces, just like all the things orbiting. One little piece hits your space mobile.
I think you take it out. Yeah.
What's that movie with Sandra
Bullock? But I also want to say, even though I won't study, I do know that space, and this might cause some waves, space is very big.
There is room out there, I'll tell you that much. But it is a problem. The hazards posed by debris collisions include erosion to hull, solar panels, and optics. So it can cause the junk in space to break up even more, making even more space trash. The potential consequences are serious. It could cause a total loss of space vehicle, hurt, or even kill the astronauts inside them. The European Space Agency estimates that more than 129 million pieces of garbage are circling the Earth. Pieces of old satellites, broken up rockets, and cast-offs from human missions to space. And isn't, who's that author? Isn't there like a Ashes cruising around up there? Wasn't somebody like, beam me up, Scotty?
I don't know. Possibly.
Is William Shatner up there?
No, William Shatner's very much still alive.
Oh, God.
That's up for debate, Cons. That's up for debate.
Let's hope he's not circling around up there. The Department of National Defense is mandated to protect and defend Canada's space capabilities, including the satellites it needs for communication, surveillance, navigation. So a raisin-sized remnant from an old satellite or rocket can be small, but when it's traveling at speeds of up to 28,000 kilometers per hour, which is like 50 billion miles per hour, I think, if you do the transfer of whatever, it can cause significant damage. So they got to clean that shit up. They're looking to clean. Can you imagine being a garbage man in New York City or lady? Pretty good job.
Thank you, Kate.
So many people sign up for this job. It is buku bucks. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine being a space garbage
Well, so
man.
That was one of the points I was going to make. These people who are getting contracts, these companies getting contracts to go up, clean up in space, what a gig. Because if I say to you and I come and present like, hey, here's what I'm going to do. I think space is so unknown. How are you going to say, no, you're wrong, or no, that's not going to work? So I'm going to say, hey, I'm going to do XYZ. And guess what? Sorry, it's going to cost you $1 million. What a deal that is. Do you understand what I'm saying?
I think so.
It's just like, it's like
how can you measure the unknown?
I don't have much confidence in case I think so.
Wow. I'm saying if you're consulting on a topic that is not very well known, anything you say could be perceived as accurate. So if I tell you it's going to cost me or going to cost you $1 million, Canada, for me to go up and clean up your space, how are you going to say no?
While you've been talking, all I can do is picture myself as a space garbage man, and I'm up in space
with the best, ripping
with
cigs.
A big old net, just ripping heaters, just catching space trash
inside your helmet.
I got a big old space garbage truck, and I'm just cruising. Mm-hmm. I mean, sign me up.
Yeah, Gravity, by the way, is the movie you were thinking of with Sandra Bullock.
Thank you.
Yes. But yeah, no, it's a really interesting topic because you think about space, and based on this article, it's one of those things where it's kind of like you have an old couch and you just like kind of throw stuff behind the couch. You don't really think about things get shot up into space and people just don't think about them. And then all of a sudden you pull that couch away and you're like, oh, man, there's a lot of garbage back there.
Right.
Maybe you should clean this up.
See, that's what my entire point of putting this on our prep sheet, our show sheet was. I think we should lean into this and put more trash in space.
Okay.
We're running out of spots to put it. Imagine if we just had garbage trucks that whenever we get the technology, just shoot the trash to the sun and just be like, here you go. Just put it a little pack on it and just send it out to space. All the trash needs to go to space. There's so much room. It's infinite. What do you got to lose?
Well, I think if we shoot it right at the sun, it's the same as it burning the trash down here, except if we burn it in space.
And out of
we
our don't atmosphere.
Have, exactly. And we don't have to suffer the adverse effects.
You can't ruin the ozone layer if you're outside the ozone. People forget
Boom.
That.
Way best case scenario, there is life way out there on another planet.
You imagine how annoyed they'd be at us?
We don't know what they are.
Oh, my
God. What if it's highly intelligent goats? Next thing you know, a giant garbage space mobile from Earth comes. A million tin cans explode. They're like, oh, my God, what a treat. It's like
This is what the whole Space Force should be about. Like, we should have little settlements, put a little fob on the moon, and have 13 Lance Corporal Space Force kids out there with moon version of diesel fuel burning trash on the moon and spinning it. Nothing could happen.
For sure. Oh, my God. We should just
or just dig space. A big old
hole. But here's
in
what
the
I'm talking about.
And make the moon like a big trash pile.
This is precisely what I'm talking about. Everything we just said now is copyrighted. And now we can go sell this to somebody and boom, we just made $100 million, the three of us.
The galaxy is our litter box, gang.
This is a better idea than ZBT, honestly.
Right. Wow.
You're welcome. We just solved the space garbage problem and became multimillionaires in the process.
Man.
What a day. What a Monday.
Space garbage out of this atmosphere. Space garbage. Anyway, how about that?
All right. But intergalactic garbage juice would smell funky.
But would it? Is there a smell in space?
Impossible to know because everybody has their suits on.
Right.
Exactly.
I don't think you can smell in space.
That's another reason why it's a great job. You're not even
can
getting
you
the smell
in zero gravity. It either goes one of two ways. It's either muted or it stinks real bad. Like if I want to know, we need to get one of the astronauts back on the show and be like, tell us about a time you've straight up farted in space.
Yeah, if you fart in your spacesuit, can you smell
oh,
it?
Oh, man. I don't know.
They have to.
It probably even... sticks around forever because it doesn't dissipate. Like, it just hangs out. It's probably just one little no because it would come in like a bubble because I think the butthole air is denser than most airs. So whenever it comes and hits you, it would hit you like a bubble.
I would just imagine it just follows you around like Pigpen from Charlie Brown.
Do you think as a goof, when they're inside the space station, do you think any of the astronauts has ever like just cuts the turd loose and lets it float around the cabin?
I mean,
a straight up turd?
Yeah. Oh, a turd? Oh,
you ever
Jesus.
Think they're like, hey, Kenny, check this out. And then like a little turd goes scooting
like
across the
room. Like some drunk dude at a 7-Eleven in a fucking yeah. beach town?
I would.
You're really rolling the dice, though, that it's going to come out as a solid. Imagine if you had some diarrhea and then it's just everywhere.
Oh,
that
boy.
Could be bad.
Anyways, space
garbage. That's the last place you would want to have diarrhea, space.
Yeah, seriously.
Or
maybe the best yeah, place? I don't know. Kate.
You propel yourself across the cabin with your ass.
That would be cool to see who could shoot themselves the farthest.
Exactly.
I would definitely love farting myself around the little space station.
For sure. Oh, man.
All yeah, right, let's move on to round two.
Ooh, buddy. Round number two. Problematic. Comes to us from Military Times. The Navy may have a peeping Tom problem. The branch of the armed forces is investigating footage taken by a secret camera allegedly placed in a bathroom at a USS vessel and then shared with the world through a popular porn sharing website. Material involving unsuspecting sailors and Marines have been posted on Pornhub. The videos were apparently uploaded onto the site earlier this month. They were discovered by an agent from the Naval Criminal Investigation Service. Some of the videos feature the service members wearing uniforms showing their names on patches. Some civilians might have also been filmed. The footage was likely made through a peephole, investigators think. They only show the men changing. No sexual activity has been reported. Some of the servicemen were assigned to the USS Emery S. Land, a ship that supplies submarines and currently has its home port in Guam. Officials have not provided a time frame for when they were recorded. Representatives from the command in Guam, as well as a legal advocate, are notifying the people involved. And the videos have since been taken down from the website. This
now,
is
first
not
of all,
cool.
I want to get into this by saying I'm glad that it's nothing more than changing. Like,
yes.
Obviously, having images of you changing is going to be horrific. Like, out there, it could have been way worse. Mm. Like, way, way worse. And I just don't understand how this shit continues to happen. Like, you would think that there would be methods in place to stop this type of thing.
It's still. I think it's equally as creepy for it to happen to a man as to a woman. And I feel like, thank goodness, it wasn't even more stuff than that. But still, this is so harming mentally to feel like,
oh, yeah.
Oh, just so scary
that you are never private.
You're never
you
alone.
Never have moment alone. Mm-hmm. Is so creepy to have your privacy violated like that is so disgusting. And this, every year, stories like this come out from these Navy ships and stuff like that. They need to up whatever the punishment is. They need to up it times 50. They need to like really, really get a handle on this because it happens every year. And it's like so disheartening. You're a service member just trying to do your job and serve your country. And you have to worry about fucking creeps. And
yeah.
It's like,
especially on a ship
time.
Where privacy is not easy to come by as it is.
Right.
So you would think in a bathroom, you would have that privacy that
yeah.
you don't have to worry about that. And I would think, with all the technology that we have, my guess is that these cameras are so, so small that they can't be seen. But there has to be a way to somehow jam the signal so that even if you were trying to use one of these cameras to transmit video back to a computer, that they would get scrambled and wouldn't be possible, to your point,
yeah.
Kate. That
and how sad is it you have to think about that?
Right.
I
that's
know.
Terrible.
Because it's such a
that's
like,
terrible.
Pervasive thing in like military culture that you constantly have to worry about that. That's the last thing that I would – if I saw this – report come out that and I was on this ship at the time, dude, I would be fucking terrified because no matter what, if you're by yourself and you're jerking off or whatever, you look like an idiot.
Mm-hmm.
Like you
right.
constantly are going to look like an idiot no matter what.
Right.
And you're thinking that that's the video that's going to come out. Just the gut feeling that you would have for those days right after, be like, holy shit, there was a video of me jerking off when I didn't know laying in my berthing.
Right.
That's what would go through my head.
Yeah, very creepy stuff. Also, Pornhub, I've heard of it. I've maybe seen a couple things on there. I know they get like billions and billions of videos uploaded every day, but they've got to I mean, what's the screening process for that? Like, anybody can just put up anything? That's kind of terrifying, too. Like,
yeah.
I don't know.
I think so, because when we see videos like the celebrity hackers or whatever, whenever they would go through and like the iClouds, then next thing you know, it's like 50 videos. And once something's out on the internet, it's hard to stop it because it spreads like wildfire.
Mm-hmm. Well, I like to think that if I was in charge of this ship, I imagine it's just one large anchor that the commander himself tosses over, and I would toss it over.
Classic anchor shape.
And I'd say, "Excuse me,
Captain Kate,
just toss the anchor. We're not going anywhere. I'm not pulling it back up until we go through every little inch of everyone's shit and find that fucking camera and figure out who the fuck did this." Because I don't know. I just would love to turn the other way and be like, "Okay, everybody, have at them. Like,
right.
Just beat their ass, like." Mm-hmm. Gah, I don't know. Just such creeps out there.
Yep. All right, let's move on to round three.
All right, guys. For round number three, did either of you ever have to take a combat lifesavers course?
Of course.
Oh, yeah.
And did you have to? I remember we had to be in the room, and people are yelling at you, and they teach you how to put the IV in somebody's arm. And I cannot tell you how many of us fucked it up over and over and over until we all had busted vessels in our arms. I know the guy that I was doing it on, I forgot to take the band off. And so when I finally did, blood went squirting across the room at incredibly high pressure. Mm. But I mean, it's really difficult. I know they do the controversial one with the pigs and everything. But I say if it helps you save lives on the battlefield, you do what you got to do. But it is really difficult and really stressful. So combat medics, I mean, it's hard to imagine the kind of stuff that they do and pull off in the field. And this story coming to us from Task and Purpose is no different. We already knew that Army Rangers were a unique breed of badass, but performing real-time blood transfusions while under enemy fire on the battlefield takes it to an entirely new level. I saw this all over Twitter this weekend. People are like, holy fuck, this is badass. The Ranger Rolo program, developed a few years ago, allows soldiers to donate blood to their wounded comrades on the battlefield in a matter of minutes. When called upon, a blood donor volunteer moves to the casualty and pulls out their issued blood donor pack. Either the unit's combat medic or a trained non-medic ranger draws the blood from the volunteer. The volunteer then returns to combat, and the blood is immediately administered to the casualty.
This is crazy.
So it's like
think about that for a second.
Yep.
How insane that is. That there's active firefights going on, and you know somebody's bleeding out. They take you from the fight, give you the blood, and then you're back out there. They don't give you a cookie, a slice of bread,
no.
A Subway sandwich, nothing. You just get your ass back out there.
And you don't get to give the Zach Morris timeout. Yeah. To the enemy.
I at least get a sticker? The whole process takes about 10 minutes. And if you think, they call it the fog of war, and like it looks so straightforward in the movies and films, but it's absolute chaos when there's a firefight going on.
Mm-hmm.
And to know that these guys pulled it off and that this is a thing that
and 10 minutes is an eternity, too. Whenever you're in a firefight, 10 minutes feels like an eternity.
Well, Rangers in Afghanistan saw this life-saving technique executed in combat for the first time last summer, according to a press release, when an assault force was pinned down for 2 hours in Wardak province during a night raid. During the fight, 3 Rangers were wounded in an initial blast. 1 critically wounded casualty was pulled out of the line of fire, where they were pulled was a small lump of earth, no more than 1 meter high.
Jeez.
So they're pulled behind this tiny lump of earth, and they began being assessed by the combat medic, Staff Sergeant Charles Bowen of 75th Ranger Regiment. Sergeant Ty Abel, also from Bravo Company, began checking out the 2 other Rangers. Bowen then found that his casualty had a gaping hole on the right side of his chest with a weakening pulse. While helping him, another Ranger stumbled over to Bowen, blood pouring from his neck. Bowen immediately moved to stop the bleeding, applying pressure to the neck wound, and eventually performing with Abel a cricothyroidotomy to help him breathe.
Nicely done.
An incision in the neck to establish an airway, which already I'm overwhelmed here, just reading it. All of this was being done while taking machine gun and mortar fire. So he has the one guy with a sucking chest wound. He has another. He has to cut the hole in the throat to help him breathe. After getting the neck wound under control, Bowen turned back to the casualty with the chest wound, who was bleeding out. There were no more available blood units, as they had all been used. That's when Bowen and Abel turned to Rolo 3 different times while under direct enemy fire. They drew fresh blood from pre-screened donor volunteers, all with universal type O blood, transferring it to the wounded casualties. In 2017, that program was awarded the Army's Greatest Innovation Award by Army Materiel Command. I can't imagine. Mm-hmm. This seems like something that if you saw it in a Hollywood movie, you'd be like, oh, okay.
Yeah, that's right. Not happening in real life.
Bullshit. Three different, during the middle of a firefight, they find three different people with the O-type blood who knew that this was the guy they needed to go to, same type blood as them. Like, holy shitballs. I mean, this is just
I don't understand. I really don't understand how, like, Air Force, like, their paratroopers, how Marine, our Navy corpsmen and how Army medics do their job. Because these are people that they're with every day. Like, they're training with them all the time, and you see these horrific injuries that take place, and to have the awareness, like, the awareness of mind to be able to do something so unbelievably complicated in the moment and save people's lives, it is beyond imagination. And a lot of times, yes, there is training that goes in being a medic and things like that, but these people aren't doctors. They're enlisted men who are able to do this type of shit. It is crazy.
Yeah, and I think you can do all the training in the world, and I don't think you can actually simulate what was going on here and is described. As all of the treatments and movements while under enemy fire were occurring, danger close fire missions with Hellfire missiles, 30-millimeter rounds, and 105-millimeter rounds were being executed as close as 30 meters from our position. 30 meters? That's pretty freaking close.
Pretty close. And while all that was going on during this two-hour firefight, Staff Sergeant Bowen and Sergeant Abel saved six lives. They stopped six people from passing away. I mean, just absolutely incredible.
I like this line, too. Sergeant Abel and I did our best to shield our casualties from harm and covered their ears during impact of the large munitions to try to save their hearing. That's unbelievable that they did this. It doesn't say whether or not they did, but gosh, I know that they were essentially doing what they're trained to do and what they're supposed to be doing as their job, but they should have deserve some sort of award
for
this.
Because there's a term in the award manual that's outside your rank and experience level.
Yeah.
That is far outside your rank and experience level, no matter what rank you are. I mean, and a grateful nation appreciates the sacrifice and what they did and their skills and expertise. Just shows another level of what these people on the battlefield are actually able to do on a given day. Blows me away. Even years later, stepping out and reading military news every single week for years, still coming across stories like this absolutely takes your breath away. Huge credit to them and their training, too. The best training in the world. Before we get into round four, I want to remind you about Roman Swipes. If you haven't got them yet, they are awesome. Roman Swipes are a clinically proven way to last longer in bed. They're effective, easy to use, in fact, acting, and they don't require a prescription. They can send you swipes in a discreet, unmarked package, and each swipe packet is small enough to hide in your wallet, in your ditty bag, in your blue money valuable bag, in your shower bag, inside any bag that you have, and you can just swipe it on. It's easy. It's not going to transfer to your partner so that you can last longer without worrying. They're super easy to use. Just take the swipe out of the packet, swipe it on your penis, just swipe it on. Dry it. You can even blow at it if you want to for extra little stimulant because it's kind of like mint. It'll make it feel cool and nice if you're too hot. And then you go to GetRoman.com/zero. You can get more. You can get your first month of swipes for just $5 when you use the monthly plan if you go to GetRoman.com/zero. That's GetRoman.com/zero. You're going to get a good deal because you're going to have longer sex and it's going to be more enjoyable for you.
All right, round number four. President Trump has found himself in some hot water yet again. The national commander of the Veterans of Foreign Wars is calling on President Donald Trump to apologize to military members for his misguided remarks that minimized the severity of injuries resulting from a missile attack by Iran earlier this month. The Pentagon said Friday that 34 U.S. service members were diagnosed with concussions and traumatic brain injuries after the January 8 attack on the Iraqi bases. In a statement on the VFW website, William Schmitz, the group's national commander, said his organization cannot stand idle on this matter. And it pulls in the article some quotes from an interview that President Trump did.
Mr. President, a question on Iran. Initially, you said repeatedly to Americans that after Iran retaliated for the Soleimani strike, no Americans were injured. We now know at least 11 U.S. service men were airlifted from Iraq. Can you explain the discrepancy?
No, I heard that they had headaches and a couple of other things, but I would say, and I can report, it is not very serious.
So you You don't consider potential traumatic brain injury serious?
They told me about it numerous days later. You'd have to ask Department of Defense. No, I don't consider them very serious injuries relative to other injuries that I've seen. I've seen what Iran has done with their roadside bombs to our troops. I've seen people with no legs and with no arms. I've seen people that were horribly, horribly injured in that area, that war. In fact, many cases put those bombs put there by Soleimani, who's no longer with us. I consider them to be really bad injuries. No, I do not consider that to be bad injuries. No.
And it goes on to talk a little bit more about what the VFW expects out of the president in ways of an apology. This is just a situation where, here's what I will say. I'm not excusing it. Let me repeat that. I am not excusing what he said. What he said was bad. What I think is going on here, though, is President Trump, along with many other people in their 70s, would probably have the same train of thought. Unless it's a physical injury that they can see, it's not a big deal because they are not as well-versed and as educated as many younger generations are on traumatic brain injuries.
Yeah, I think it reflects. And let me just reiterate,
I am not excusing what he said. I just want that on the record.
Yeah, one of my diagnoses whenever I got out was traumatic brain injury with cognitive disorder. And honest to God, if I described it to somebody, I would describe it as a headache. Like, I really would. Like, severe, yes. Migraine-like, yes. But one of the major aspects of having a traumatic brain injury for me and how mine presents itself is through intense, intense headaches. Now, I don't understand why everything has to be an argument, like everything has to be perfectly said. I think that this president, we've gotten used to him not being exactly precise with his words, and I think that that's another incident. If you're comparing apples to oranges and what you can see, like in your own brain, what you can see, I see a person that is missing a limb. I see a person who says that they're describing their symptoms as a really bad headache. Of course, the natural inclination there is going to say that that is a worse injury. Mm-hmm. And most likely it is. But there is people out there who their traumatic brain injuries are way, way worse than mine, that they can no longer speak. They can no longer see clearly. They lost hearing because of it. We know that there's countless stories of people who deal with traumatic brain injuries, that the lasting effects, the concussion type syndromes, the headaches that present themselves after are so debilitating that they do end up killing themselves. This is a huge battle that we're going years in the making of making this not just a simple headache that you could take aspirin to get away from or Motrin that you can get away from, but this is something that we're encouraging every single day as leaders, or we should be, for people to get the proper treatment. 34 people dealing with this is 34 people dealing with this, and you would like it in an ideal world if the President of the United States and the Commander-in-Chief didn't make light of an injury, even if that wasn't his intent. The fact of the matter is he's the Commander-in-Chief, should be precise with his words, even if that's not his natural disposition.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it manifests itself in a lot of different ways. And obviously when those can't be seen, people are going to have those opinions that it's not as bad. When in fact, as you just pointed out very eloquently, it is very bad in a lot of cases.
Yep. All right. And I think it's strange. One of the strangest aspects of this is, in this presidency, in this last political climate, you haven't seen too many of the veterans groups that are widely known and have been around for a long period of time taking issues with a lot of the things that President Trump's or the Democrats said. Most veteran organizations have kind of been apolitical for a long period of time, and especially right now. It was strange to see the VFW come out so publicly and say, hey, this is something that we really need to apologize for, or that the president needs to apologize for, especially considering that when you think of the VFW right now, you primarily think of that demographic that Cons was talking about older, mm-hmm. like earlier. The older group.
Well, I think it wasn't so much. I think whatever president said it, they would have come out and made these big statements simply because
it's a great
chance to bring this issue to light. I think they more than anything probably saw it as a great chance to get a conversation going about TBI. So, mm-hmm. yeah, we're talking about it.
Here we are.
Well done, VFW.
Yep. Let's move on to round five.
Round number five, a travesty occurring down at the Dallas VA hospital.
What happened?
It is so behind the times that a recent report came out. They don't have a single television anywhere in the building. So what? Anybody waiting has to, yeah. Their waiting areas are behind the Times. They don't have any coffee machines for anyone. No vending machines. They don't even have a cafeteria in there.
It's like a prison.
It's horrible. Just kidding. It's fine. They only don't have a gynecologist. So no big deal. The small beans. Good. Yeah. You can all rest easy now. That's it. Yeah. The second largest network of the Department of VA Affairs and Medical Centers went without a gynecologist for nearly 2 years in an area with the fourth highest concentration of women veterans. Texas has nearly 200,000 women veterans, and yet the Dallas VA, zero gynecologist from 2017 to 2018, February 2017, December 2018. And they only had a single nurse during that time who could do some things that women needed, but really not everything. VA, quick round here, knife hand, fix yourself. Damn
fix
it.
Fix yourself.
Fix yourself. I just, you know, if it gets to March of 2017 and we still don't have a gynecologist, I know you can't just, you know, make a doctor appear from thin air, but you would think that that problem would be addressed right away.
You would think. And Chaps, you were saying the people at the top being like, we're going to get to the bottom of this when they've been on the board for like a decade. It's like, you're the fucking problem. Like, quit saying it and do something.
Yeah, there's a congresswoman who's on the board. She's been a congresswoman since 2006, been on the House Veteran Affairs Committee forever, and said, we're going to get to the bottom of this. Get to the bottom of it before it's a huge issue. Before 2 years, there should be a requirement to hire. It's not like Dallas is a tough area to get people to move to.
Right.
Dallas is pretty great. Like, get people to move there. Get women taken care of. If I was a woman veteran, I'd be irate, because it's just another thing in the long line of reasons why women don't feel like they're appreciative of the service. The fastest growing aspect of all veterans is women, from 165,000 a few years ago all the way up to 460,000 now. A huge increase. This is going to be a bigger and bigger issue. The VA should not be behind this far. They should know who the veterans are going to be. They should know what doctors they need to hire, because if it was like up to me, they would be doing a prostate exam whether I like it or not. The women need to be able to go see a gynecologist to make sure that they're healthy. They deserve it. They shouldn't have to wait 7 months or a year or 2 years or whatever the fuck it is. Get it figured out, VA. Let's move on to round six. Round number six, jealousy is in the air and it smells like a stinking perfume, and it's coming just from my body, because I have never been more jealous of a duty than, and I shouldn't say duty because if you listen to me mostly talk, it's mostly going to be a poop joke next. Not a poop joke. This duty that some of the Australian soldiers have is unbelievable, because even though there is a huge tragedy going on in Australia right now with their fires and so many animals, I think we reported that there was a billion animals that were killed, something like that.
So far.
An obscene number.
Obscene, yeah. So, but right now, there's some Australian soldiers who their duty right now is to nurse some of these injured koala bears back into health. And there's a picture of them all sitting in a row with these little koala bears covered in chlamydia with a little blanket surrounding them and a syringe of their little koala milk. I assume that's koala milk. Might be eucalyptus milk that they're just pouring into their little gullets and nursing them back to health. I can't think of a single creature on planet Earth that I would want to nurse back to health more than an injured koala bear. Can you?
They seem so cuddly.
I just want to, sometimes my body aches to hold, well, actually to have a koala hold me the other way around. But looking at these pictures, yeah. And these, it's kind of a morale boost for them, I was reading. These are Australian Army soldiers from the South Australian and Tasmanian 16th Regiment. And they have been out among the fires and they've been seeing all the destruction and seeing all these dead animals. And so it's kind of a break for them. They get to go into this room. They get to sit in these chairs. They get koalas wrapped in swaddling little blankets and they get to feed them and cuddle them. And I bet it's just as helpful for them as it is for the koalas.
Yeah, very therapeutic, I'd imagine.
And they all have like smiles on their faces looking down at the koalas. I just, ugh.
How could you not?
I
How
can't.
Could you not have a big old smile on your face?
It's so nice. I mean, it's so terrible, but it's so nice that they get to do it. Fuck.
It's quite apropos. Actually, I had a dream last night. This is no BS. It's crazy that this story came out. I had a dream that I was in my old house growing up, and there were two bears, a mama bear and a cub, on our deck. And then they came in the house, but they talked, and they were just looking for food. So that really only interests me.
Were they looking for porridge?
Yeah. They were looking for some porridge. No, I think one of them took one of the cell phones and they took a bag of chips. But anyway, yes, this is
classic
very
bear move.
This is a very great story. Great working party, but brings to mind what were some other great working parties that our listeners have experienced while in the military?
A good one.
So we took to our social media accounts, ZeroBlog30 on social media, on both Twitter and Instagram, and even on TikTok, if you want to go follow us there. If you're one of those brave people who are still not scared to have the Chinese influence TikTok, we've got an account there. We asked them what their favorite duty or their favorite working party or like temporary duty that they had to do, and some of the answers didn't disappoint. Kate, what were some of your favorites?
Well, these answers were kind of like, I think we talked about this before in Shawshank Redemption, where they get to, at the end of the day after doing the roof, the guards let them crack a couple beers on the roof, right, and have a moment of freedom. That's what these working parties were kind of like. At Shu1323 said, museum and boot camp, crushed some ice cream, snagged some Pepsis, and hit up the vending machine. At that exact moment, I could have stayed there forever and been perfectly content. Good old Paris Island. And I think he's referring to one of those final weeks where you get sent out specifically.
Team week is what it's called.
Yep. For a whole week, you get sent somewhere. Mine was to the firehouse on base. And the firefighters there, they were Marines, but they were like, we don't give a fuck what you do. And so we just kind of like dicked around and joked around and got to hang out. And then if the DIs would come by and check through, they'd be like, they're coming. Like the firefighters would like warn us and we'd start to pretend to clean stuff again and we're on it. But it was like such a treat. Yeah. So that's a good one.
I got laundry detail. And whenever you're sitting there at boot camp, did you have one specific thing that you craved the entire time that you're in boot camp and couldn't wait to get it whenever you got out?
Good question.
Brownies?
Ice cream?
Mine was a Butterfinger bar and a Coke.
Oh,
I wanted a Butterfinger and a Coke so damn bad.
Yeah, I wanted anything chocolate just injected right into my veins. Kristen Beck said, getting rid of excess RPGs, and she's been on the show before. It was cool until I shot 27 of them. Then I blacked out for a second. I mean, just getting to shoot. There was times in the field where they're like, shit, we have to go back in 2 hours, but we have thousands and thousands of extra rounds. And they would let us just put it on 3-round bursts and they would let us just go to town, and they didn't give a fuck if we aimed at anything. And those were the times that you were just like, your taxpayer money at work, man, just wasting.
Think about how much
rounds.
Money that is, too.
Oh, like yeah,
five,
dude.
Six, RPGs seven, are six, not inexpensive.
Why would you not take them back to wherever you were going?
Such a huge pain in the dick.
Because then you got to get an ammo driver, you got to check it in, you got to do a full rounds count to get exactly how many you have. It's a pain in the ass. You don't have to do that when it's just brass.
So is that like the episode of The Office where they're explaining to Michael how they're doing the lemonade stand analogy, where they're like, if they give you $10 but it only costs you $9 to make a lemonade stand, they're going to give you $9 next time. So you spend the whole $10, you shoot all the RPGs so that they
So you can get the same amount of ammo
the next year. Time. Okay. Yep. So that, I mean, I imagine it was cool with regular ammo. With RPGs, I imagine it's super cool. Let's see.
I saw one that just didn't seem believable on Instagram. John_Ank. A PMO used to get people drunk and give them sobriety tests to test the new Marines. Always wanted to be on that. So they would purposely get people drunk. I don't know. That seems outside.
Big time true.
Really?
Big time true. Yeah. Oh. We used to do it in Okinawa all the time. And there was 2 years before I got to Okinawa, they actually did a controlled burn, too, to demonstrate what to the NCIS, like what you would do whenever you were high.
Yeah.
Well, so, okay, all right. We need to dive into this a little deeper. How do you get someone drunk in a controlled environment? How do you know that you're not giving them too much to where maybe they end up with alcohol poisoning, to where they're just drunk enough that you can test equipment?
I mean, because you have like all of the breathalyzers and shit there, and they don't. It's not like they're like, okay, go crush 18 beers and come back.
Zillion
they do
beers.
It basically to the point of intoxication. So they'll be like, okay, this is your how you act under one beer. This is how you act under two, three. And once you get to the point where you would fail, they pull you back off and be like, okay, now you're done.
Got
it's kind of like people are getting blitzed house hammered.
Oh, all right. Well, still kind of fun. There was another one that didn't seem like it was all that fun, though. At Tacos Y3S, filled water balloons for an entire duty day and prep for a combat dining in. Filling water balloons? Just a step below filling sandbags. Not fun.
Still, though, I think compared to what you normally have to do, you're like, well, this
I
is
suppose,
different fun.
Yeah.
I like at Scatty Light said, had to load all the baggage on a plane to Kyrgyzstan. Everybody loaded in the back to front, so I was in first class for the 10-hour flight. So initially, it seemed like a shitty one. Fuck, I have to load all the bags. And then in the end, it turned out they got to ride first class on a 10-hour flight, which is a goddamn delight. Mm-hmm. A lot of good answers here, though.
First time I ever flew first class was on the way home from Iraq.
That's not too shabby.
Yeah, it was great. It was one of those seats that actually fully reclined, too. It was lovely.
It's the way to go. At yeah. DC Burger has a good one. Pro Bowl in Hawaii. We had to guard the cheerleaders when they had the block party. Yeah, so I'm sure they were devastated that they had to do that. At Frenchie Man 3, I got to work an LGPA tournament refilling the coolers at each hole. That's pretty fucking sweet.
I mean, yeah, definitely. Just to be out at a golf tournament, for sure.
Yeah, every now and then these things work out pretty damn well. At John Harm, mowed lawn at a parking lot where a bunch of drill sergeants parked and sprayed grass all over multiple clean Dodge Chargers. I love that. Just parking and just shooting grass trimmings all over fancy cars. Mm-hmm. Well, military fancy cars. But yeah, a lot of great answers there. Did you guys have any other favorites?
I like this one from Purvis.Kyle on Instagram. Mowing the grass in basic got me out of the barracks and gave me an hour to myself with the smell of fresh cut grass.
Yeah.
That's just like one of those smells that brings you home.
I got that duty, and you end up looking like the biggest nerd in the history of the world whenever you're doing that.
Do they make you wear the boots?
Because PPE is out of control.
Yes. I had to do it too. They make you wear these
steel-tipped
boots.
And the goggles that they give you, they cover like almost all the way to your ears. It basically looks like a clear ski mask. You have to wear your boonie cover. You are covered. And then you had, I had to wear two glow belts at the same exact time.
Two?
Yep.
Double
unbelievably
glow
nerdy.
Wow.
Indeed.
The famed double glow belt.
Unbelievably nerdy indeed. But a ton of great answers from everybody. Thanks to everybody every week who answers these. We can't get into all of them because there's just too many, but they're always so much fun to read through.
Let me just say something. We have come such a long way. We used to try to do things like this when ZBT first started, and like, hey, tell us about this, tell us about that. And we get like three responses. And now it's just thank you so much to the ZBT platoon, because you overwhelm us with responses to the point that we can't read everybody's. So
yeah.
Thank you for listening and continuing to participate. And I promise we will always try to read as many as possible.
And of course, these have become a staple of the YouTube channel. So make sure you head over there, subscribe, and
yes,
you'll see hopefully your response up there on the video.
Mm-hmm.
There we go. All right, let's move into save rounds, alibis. What do we got first? We'll start with you, Bren.
So yesterday I was snowboarding with Barstool Breakfast. I went to Wyndham with Jetski and his friends. They call him K-Raff. But so Kevin Rafferty.
Yeah.
So it's like 2:30. We're finished. It was a long day. We get in the car and we're pulling out of the Wyndham, and then the Kobe Bryant news breaks. Mm-hmm. And so that was obviously on my mind a lot. And then with the save round number three, with the medic being able to pull off like an immaculate, you know, medic, strategy and
procedure.
Performance procedure is the word I'm looking for. So like on the ride home, I was thinking like, what would happen if I came across a car crash like on the side of the road? And my first thought would be to FaceTime, like, either if Chaps, and if he didn't pick up, I would call Cons, I would call one of you guys. Would you guys, hypothetically speaking, be able to like FaceTime me? To like, if I FaceTimed you, would you be able to walk me through any kind of like, if I'm trying to help save this person?
I would hang up
could
on you
help
and
me?
Say, call 911. What the fuck
well,
are you
obviously,
talking about?
Obviously, I would. But like, if I'm somewhere like in the mountains.
Yes, sir, I'm on the side of the road and there's a burning car. I don't know whether the tree for shock or.
Serious question though. Like, would you be able to help me? Like, I call 911 and they're on the way and we're in a remote place where immediate help is not going to be there for a little bit. Like would you guys be able to help me? Like, what would I do?
I mean, I could say a few things. I don't know. I think every situation is very different.
I wouldn't be able to help you.
I think every
situation. I think a simple no for me.
Yeah, it's a no for
I
me.
I might
dog.
Be able to, if I was actually on scene, some things might pop back.
Right.
But it's been so long since I'd done any of that shit. I would much rather you call 911.
Yeah,
seriously.
They're actually trained for that.
I would call 911 first.
Yeah. Gosh, well, and even it's crazy too, because like even if you can't even say like, oh, pull him from the car, because it could be a neck or a back injury, and you could potentially make it worse. So yeah, probably.
Turn the camera around. I can't see. I'm looking at you. Turn the camera around.
Yeah, I think it would be the hardest part is just trying to communicate via FaceTime.
Yeah.
So I don't think we would be of much help at all. Sorry.
Right. Duly noted.
Just do your best.
Yeah.
Cons.
Yeah, so I just rewatched Band of Brothers for, I don't know, the billionth time. And it got me thinking, because I at various parts of different episodes, I was Googling different individuals from Easy Company and reading about their actual lives post-war and during the war, pre-war, whatever. And I was just curious what you guys think. Are they the most famous unit in history? And the only other unit I could think of that came to mind were the Tuskegee Airmen. But even them, I couldn't really name any individuals. Now, obviously, there was a series made about these gentlemen, so that aids itself in knowing who they are. But are they the most famous unit in military history?
It's a pretty subjective question, I think. But sure, I don't know. I've never seen it.
Wow.
But I know.
You should watch that.
I know. I got to get on it.
I don't know. Probably up there. I mean, they're definitely up there for sure.
Yeah, for sure.
But anyway, it was great. It's never not great. You should really watch it.
All right.
Yeah.
I know. I need to get into some new shows, some new old shows.
It's only 10 episodes, too, so you can fly through it.
All right. Me? Kate? I don't have any. I'm good.
For me, I don't have anything either. It was a good week. Still no Mohawk. I should have a Mohawk update for my daughter, McCartney, on Friday. She was looking forward to it. Didn't get to do it, so she's going to have an eccentric haircut that wouldn't be good for Dress Blues for the first time in her life.
Are you giving her this haircut, or is she going to a salon to get this done?
No. She's definitely going to a professional to get it done. Definitely not me. I'm
so
too much of
what kind of Mohawk is it? Because a Mohawk is a very general term. Like you said, you referenced a character on a show that she likes, and I pulled an image up to make an asset for Podfathers, and it was like blue, but like when I think Mohawk, I think like Liberty Spikes, like a big spike.
Yeah, it's
big
not
going to
be like
spike.
Salt Lake City punk or anything like that, but it'll still be a pretty good one. I don't know. We'll see. She might even change her mind when we get there because that's who McCartney is. She's a wild child. And that's why I love her so much. But anyways, great episode this week, guys. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you again. Sound the retreat.